This is Full Logic Reverse. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. We hope you'll stay tuned. And we are joined by Mike McCormick of Community Radio KCMU 90.3 in Seattle, Washington. Mike, thanks for being with us on the program.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mike.
Well, I appreciate it. I really enjoy the programming that you do, which is available through the A-Info's radio project. Perhaps we can talk a little bit about that. But what I really want to do is talk about what's happening regarding media up in Seattle, community media, alternative media, mainstream media, and what the folks in Seattle are doing, getting ready as we work our way towards a WTO ministerial meeting, which will be taking place at the end of this month, the beginning of December.
Right. Well, things are definitely cooking up here, both from mainstream media's end of things as well as alternative media, for lack of a better description. Locally, we've been, about a month back, probably, we started getting national attention for the WTO coming to town, and we started getting in other alternative media groups, as well as just other groups, activists in general, that are going to be working on the issue. And, of course, the planning even goes farther back than that. You know, locally, we probably started having community meetings back in February and March of this year. But it was just a month ago when we got, for instance, groups like the Ruckus Society and such doing their trainings up here for, not necessarily for media, but just how to do nonviolent actions and such, you know, something that's going to grab the mainstream media's attention as well as the alternative media. But locally, what we're looking at here is a few dozen core people that are in the greater Seattle area that make up some of the smaller radio stations, and then we have some low-power FM stations up here, as well as I know you have, Radio Free Berkeley down there.
Right.
And as well as some public access producers, filmmakers, internet web producers, you name it, print people working in print and stuff, who have all joined together in a coalition to offer out content to the rest of the world on our views of what the WTO is really bringing to town here, as well as to hopefully put together a platform that people coming into town like yourself will be able to use. We're very excited, we're putting together an indie media center, which hopefully in another few weeks will be on the web at indiemedia.org. That's IndyMedia.org. And it's going to be a website that people both locally, nationally, and internationally will be able to both plug stuff in regarding the WTO as well as retrieve stuff. And we've got several locations here locally that we are in the process of setting up, a couple buildings that we've secured that we'll be able to do editing in for, you name it, radio, video. Print hasn't actually gathered as much interest so far as we had originally thought, but who knows, things will change. So we're trying to, put together some facilities there so that people coming in from out of town, if nothing else, will at least have a place that they can stop by that won't be the generic official Seattle WTO host committee, which is, of course, supportive, whole hog with the free trade motto and such.
We're talking with Mike McCormick of KCMU Community Radio in Seattle, Washington. Mike, let me ask you, from your perspective up there being a media-type guy, talk about what's happening in Seattle. I mean, I've heard, lots of things, and one of them being, of course, that we all know there's going to be a tremendous amount of people there to protest from all over the world. What's the city doing in response to this influx of people? I mean, I heard one thing about supposedly they were trying to enact some sort of noise ordinance and things like that. I mean, what's going on in Seattle as the city gets ready for all of this?
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, the city itself has had a problem with the all of a sudden the city council decided, a particular council person, Tina Podlodowski, who had been somewhat progressive in the past, brought on these Orwellian laws of city noise in a specific ordinance towards that, you know, right before the WTO. And it wasn't very well received, obviously, by the local clubs and such, but also by protesters and such who are working on the WTO issue. And of all people to oppose it, we have actually a semi-progressive council currently, and after tonight we're hoping to have a much more progressive council. But of all people that were actually opposing it was our local mayor, Paul Schell, who was threatening to veto the noise ordinance specifically because of issues relating to the WTO. It turned out he actually finally backed down, probably from pressure from large corporations like Boeing and Microsoft, who are backing the WTO coming to town. So you have things like that. You have the local newspapers. For instance, we have two primary papers up here, the Seattle Times and the Seattle PI, the Seattle PI being somewhat centrist, and the Times being definitely the business paper of the town. You know, producing headlines that say, precautions laid for biological and chemical attack on WTO meeting, you know.
And say what?
Yeah, basically stirring up, now this was on the front of the business section of the paper, but again, it was precautions laid for biological or chemical attack at WTO meeting. And you have to, you know, wonder what that's going to do to the Seattle populace as a whole. Then in the article, they go into basically, you know, saying that this is, we're getting large, I believe it was $800,000 of federal money into train local people, the police, the fire, the medical people, that perhaps special army units would be brought in, thousands of federal specialists potentially being put on you know, red alert here in the town for if anything like this were to pop up, and just basically stirring up total fear that this was going to be happening, and of course insinuating the whole time that it's these crazed protesters that are coming to town that are potentially going to be doing this. That's been the tone of the papers, and again primarily the Times, since day one. They've been, as soon as the Ruckus Society came up, and again they were doing a training in nonviolence, how to protest and you know, do your own bit for democracy. They're immediately painting these people as total quacks and illustrating that this is the type of protesters you can expect in the streets, and boy, aren't you happy that we're beefing things up. They're spending a lot of money on, I believe it's at least $6 million, I think, somewhere between $6 and $8 million on beefing up the police and security forces here, and it's not clear exactly where the breakdown of that comes between the federal forces coming in and such. And the local police, but local police have, you know, pointed out that they're going to have everybody they can hire on hand for the event, and you know that's not actually unreasonable considering the amount of people coming to town. But they've, you know, they're pretty much spending their budget on things like pepper spray and alluding to these other, again, weapons that we're not clear exactly what they are, but you know the soft weapons that they use on crowd control and such and. I know you've actually had shows on that in the past,
right.
So your listeners are probably better versed than I as to what exactly that could encompass. But, you know, basically painting this, to a degree, this kind of picture of fear about the protesters, and I think it's, and I should actually point out that's primarily coming from one paper. The PI itself has been somewhat balanced so far. We find locally, with at least the newspaper coverage, that when you're farther out from a particular event, it tends to be a little softer view of things. And then as you get closer to the actual event, the opinions become a little harder edged and such. So that's the newspapers. The television here locally is somewhat dismal on coverage of these issues. They tend to pretty much take the corporate stance as well. And whenever they show, you know, clips, perhaps file footage of protests and stuff, they always tend to opt for, you know, people with spiked hair and, you know, more dramatic clothing than what is necessarily fairly representative of the crowds. I mean, locally here, we're having a major, one of the major participants in the protest is the local churches and such. But you would never know that from reading the local newspapers or, you know, watching local television. So
I know that you've been doing a lot of coverage of issues that are related to the WTO on the program that you produce. Can you talk a little bit about the work you've been doing? And then also, is there anyone else up in the Seattle area that's doing the kind of work that you're doing? Because it's very informative.
Oh, thanks. Well, a lot of the work I've been doing is actually just going to, there's a local group called People for Fair Trade, No to the WTO, that's been holding monthly meetings, and actually they're, at certain times they have a meeting every other week for the core group, and then of course they have a million spin-off, you know, subcommittees and such. And they've been bringing in some dynamite speakers, people who have been at the forefront of all the way back from NAFTA and such at fighting this corporate takeover, basically, of the world. And people like Steve Schreibman, Ellen Gould, as well as local people who have been working with labor organizations and such. And basically, I've just been going and recording their talks and such and actually putting them out as well on local public access TV, which I assume you have the equivalent down there. But these are incredible people with, you know, pointing out the clear example of what the WTO is really bringing to us, which is it's essentially a body that of unelected corporate lawyers, and I know this isn't an exaggeration. You can look it up at their own website at WTO.org, and they're making what they call, you know, the world, basically the world laws that will supersede all other countries' laws, will supersede all, you know, the states of, in the United States, county, city, you name it. These are going to be top-dog laws that, well, basically we're all bowing down to. And so they're basically eliminating the sovereign rights of states, which is pretty scary when you look at it. And there's been, if you look at, you know, all the decisions that have come down from them, for example, you know, the recent banana dispute between, let's say, the United States and the European Union, or the hormone beef dispute and such, they basically are a body that does corporations' biddings, and they do it by the corporations within a given country go to their country's representatives and say that we think these laws are unfair. We think that in the banana case, Chiquita Dole, and I'm sorry, I can't remember what the third one is, but they basically control 97% of the world's banana production. And, of course, bananas aren't actually grown here in the U.S. They're grown down in Central and Latin America. And they wanted the other 3%, and the other 3% was actually being produced by former colonies of Europe. Europe does its trading specifically with the Caribbean states, and United States didn't think that was very fair. Well, actually, I'm sorry. Chiquita Banana and Dole didn't think that was very fair. They wanted that, so they went to the U.S. Representative, and they said, we want you to go to the WTO and say that, you know, hey, that's not fair that they've got this pact with these nations. They aren't opening up their markets to us. We want a fair shot at it. So the WTO looked at that and said, you know what, you're right. You should have a fair shot at that, and that isn't fair for them just to pick out those nations and just specifically buy their fruits from them. So they turned around and slapped tariffs on, you know, the European Union for choosing to do that. So
the thing that I think you're bringing up, which is really important, that most people, unless they're listening to programs like this and or others where people are talking about this, is that it really is the process of creating a trans-global government that is ruled for and by corporations and their rich investors, and that any and all, as you so stated, laws, you know, the laws that help to protect labor or help to protect the environment will bow down to this, because that's where this is all going if it's not stopped. I mean, that's what we're really talking about here.
Exactly. And it's absolutely out of control at this point. And the scary part is that when you talk about things like the World Trade Organization, the WTO, you talk to your regular person on the street, and they don't have a clue as to what you're talking about. You know, they've never heard of the organization, for one. If you start going into what it's actually doing, they look at you like you're crazy. You know, how could any organization have that power? You know, it's just absolutely mind-boggling that it got to this point, and the fact that you know, it's only, I think, because the protesters, in some degree, that the local papers are covering this, it's only because the protesters got the jump start on things and opposing this, that it's even making the papers to the degree that it is, you know. So in a lot of ways, we're lucky that there's such a solid grassroots movement. And I think actually worldwide, I think it's also unique that it's primarily the United States that is so clueless about the population here, and it's not their fault. It's the media certainly isn't covering it, you know, and they're in cahoots with, you know, the larger corporations because they are in fact owned by the very same people. People here just don't know about it. But if you go out of this country, you go, let's say, to India, they're very clear on who the WTO is. You know, their sister, you know, organization like the IMF and the World Bank. They can see the results of the decisions these bodies make, and that's why they're, you know, spending their dollars or whatever to get here to the United States and spend a week here in Seattle and, you know, scream very loudly in the streets that there's something very wrong with this body, and people need to be made aware of that. So it's really exciting times, as a lot of people are pointing out. You know, it's people, for again, Steve Schreibman, who's been battling this monster for a long time, is extremely optimistic about that. He's thinking on the one hand, you know, they're coming to Seattle. We have somewhat of a good history of protests here, in a lot of ways, we think this might have been a major miscalculation on their part to bring it to the to a hotbed.
I hear that there are actually people both in and out of government who are echoing that sentiment, saying, "I think we might have screwed up by bringing it to Seattle." This is Full Logic Reverse. We'll be back in just a few moments. We're talking with Mike McCormick of Community Radio KCMU in Seattle. Mike, let me ask you a question, because one of the things that I know that happens when big events come to U.S. cities is that very often those cities engage in kind of a little house cleaning by sweeping poor people and homeless people off the streets. Uh-huh. Is that going on up there?
Well, you know, that's interesting that you bring that up, because that was brought up about 2 months back as a major concern. The local homeless advocates and such were saying, you know, this is going to happen. It's happened before. They approached the city council on that. Several city council members have come forward and said, we will not stand for this. The actual chief of police here, Norm Stamper, said, oh, you know, we're not going to be doing anything like that. But, you know, let's face it, when things finally hit the fan, I think we're going to see, you know, a sweep, basically. And the local independent media is planning on having people out there with the homeless community, you know, with cameras and such to record this if it does happen, and to go directly to City Hall and to the local media outlets that will cover this, and to bring this to, you know, the court of public opinion. So we're anticipating this, and hopefully we can nip it in the bud before it really gets out of control.
Well, it certainly sounds like you've got a plan. Caller, you're live on the air.
Yeah, Mike, I got to ask this question. With the WTO meeting, is there any corporate dissent structure where they modify, correct? Because I think, you know, within the corporate community, we recognize, the whole world recognizes there's a lot wrong with what with the free trade theme. It's just not working like they dreamed it could and like they thought they wanted to. So isn't there a vehicle for dissent and tempering and correction within this WTO meeting?
You know, within the WTO itself, it doesn't appear that there is, but within this meeting, and again, I'm not convinced it'll be taken seriously, but supposedly President Clinton is opening things up for bringing in others to the table, i.e., he's openly said that he'd like to get some labor representatives in there, which in this case I believe are actual people from, let's say, the AFL-CIO, which itself is very divided on this. They're, in my opinion, their hardline, you know, old guard is very much tied into the administration. I mean, they basically picked Gore as their man. And I think, to a degree, there's going to be significant compromises for doing that. As well as at this table, they're supposed to open up the delegates, the representing 135 countries, they're supposed to open them up to environmental groups and labor and such a day early so that these people can come in and voice their opinions on what they feel needs correcting with the WTO and such. But, you know, basically this came about after it was looking like at least the Clinton administration hadn't really planned things out as far as they should have on this, where the protesters and people who are for fair trade got the jump start, and the local media was pretty much giving them the major coverage for weeks on end here, going a couple months back. And it's significant. You could even see it. The U.S. trade reps and stuff were saying, you know, we're, as far as PR is concerned, we're losing this one, you know. And that was when Clinton finally made this concession to people saying, you know, we need to open up a table for these people so that they have a voice. In fact, one of our own senators, Patty Murray, who she's made some good stances on different issues in the past, she was the one that initiated a letter to President Clinton saying, I'm extremely worried about the way that these protesters are getting all the coverage and such and giving our city, which she doesn't live in, a really bad name. And I think you really need to get on the ball here and start sending some people out and start, you know, putting a positive spin on this, because otherwise we're gonna take a big hit on this one. And it was right after that that five or six top White House officials were dispatched to come to the city and different town hall events and, you know, do their dog and pony show.
Uh-huh. One last question having to do with corporate liability and unfair trade practices. I'll just take my answer off the air if you could discuss those things a little bit. Thank you.
This question has come up before, Mike, and what it is that, you know, I think it came up one time in the context of genetically engineered foods, whereby if we get into genetically altering whatever the life forms may be, and then there are unintended consequences as a result of that, you know, I think more or less, you know, who winds up paying the bill? Well, for the most part, if it happens here in the U.S., it's going to be the taxpayer.
Yeah.
It's not going to be these huge corporate entities like Monsanto and others. I mean, they'll find a way to dodge that bullet, I'm sure.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, and they set themselves up in anticipation of that. You know, they got their bean counters in there figuring out whether this thing's going to be a payoff or not, and they break themselves down into smaller corporate entities that, you know, they basically can cut loose if that part of the ship starts sinking and just, you know, write it off as a financial loss. So, you know, not to say there aren't some good corporations out there, because there are, but, you know, the bulk of these, their bottom line is bringing in, you know, profits and such. So, and morals is just, you know, a hurdle to jump over in the pursuit of that.
Well, that's a really good point, because I had someone kind of put this to me the other day. You know, is that the WTO is not the problem. The WTO is a symptom of the problem, and the problem is run amok corporate capitalist greed. And the World Trade Organization is just a mechanism for bringing that and allowing that to continue to go on. So on some level, I think it's easy to kind of say, well, here's the WTO, it's a bad thing. Yeah, it's a bad thing. But is it the problem? No, it's a symptom of the problem. The problem is an ethical base that says, make money no matter what. You know, and that's really the issue. We're talking with Mike McCormick of KCMU 90.3 Community Radio in Seattle. Mike, we just have a couple of minutes left. Any final thoughts for our audience, or any contact information you'd like to give them, anything like that?
Yeah, I would like to encourage people to come up to Seattle. If you can't come up for the whole week, we're talking November 29th to December 3rd, then if you could just come up for a day, that would be great. And participate in this. It's both going to be a protest and a rockin' good party. This is what democracy is all about. Democracy is not going once a year on November 2nd, happens to be today, and casting your vote. It's much more than that. It is voicing your opinion, going up to the powers that be and saying, we think this is wrong if you think it's wrong, and patting them on the back if you think they're doing something right. And if you can't be up here, then you can be influencing things wherever you are. You can be calling your radio station, your television station, your newspapers, and asking them, you know, why they aren't covering this or why they're doing a particular spin on things. And it's so important that we all link together on this one, because we can really change things on this. You know, the WTO and the Clinton administration, you know, they're scared on this one. You know, they realize that they didn't play their cards right, and we got the momentum, and we can feel it up here, and I think the rest of the world's going to feel it when they watch it on TV. So we need everybody together on this one, and we can do it. We can make some seriously good changes this time around, and that's just going to make things better, you know, down the road. So I would encourage you to, there is a local group if you want to get more information for coming up, where they're arranging for housing for people, if, because obviously the hotels are filling up here very quickly. And it's People for Fair Trade. Their website is www.peopleforfairtrade.org. And their phone number is 1-877-STOP-WTO.
Can you give that phone number one more time, Mike, all the people who are rushing and scrambling at this moment for pens and pencils?
You bet. It's an easy one to remember. It's 1-877-STOP-WTO. So, and we encourage you to participate on any level that you can. But if you come up to Seattle, we're gonna try and show you hospitality that'll outshine that southern hospitality I've always heard about.
Well, it sounds good, Mike. I'll be up there, and hopefully we'll see each other, and it's going to be quite the experience, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, definitely. I'm looking forward to it.
Mike McCormick of Community Radio, KCMU 90.3. Thank you for being with us on the program, and we'll see you in Seattle.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Cool. Thank you for joining us for this edition of the program today. I'm your host, Mike Thornton, and it's been my pleasure to be part of the team bringing you Full Logic Reverse. If you'd like more information about FLR, you can contact us via email, flr@jps.net, or by telephone, 530-271-0804. We invite you to join us next time for another edition of Full Logic Reverse.